My fellow plebs, River is setting a new standard in Bitcoin. At river.com, you'll pay zero fees when you dollar cost average. Truly the best way to build your Bitcoin wealth. All Bitcoin at River is held in secure cold storage with 100% full reserves. There's no need to wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Your Bitcoin is your Bitcoin to withdraw at any time. Additionally, River lets you make Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network, offers a Lightning integration for developers, and allows you to mine Bitcoin directly to your River account. River has a level of service that is unheard of in this industry, including phone support, private client advisors, and the ability to designate beneficiaries to inherit your Bitcoin wealth. River has become the premium name in Bitcoin that anyone can easily access. Sure, you have a place to buy Bitcoin, but have you tried River? See and feel the difference at river.com and the River iOS app, the preferred partner of Bitcoin Magazine. Over the last 5 years, the Bitcoin Conference has become the world's largest gathering of Bitcoiners. From breaking announcements and international media coverage to countless meaningful talks by thought leaders and industry innovators, we are excited to continue our drive for global hyper-Bitcoinization. From July 25th to the 27th, 2024, we'll be taking the Bitcoin Conference to the city of Music and Freedom, Nashville, Tennessee. Join thousands of attendees for countless opportunities to learn, engage, and network across 3 days of pure Bitcoin signal. Get your tickets now for the best price at b.tc/conference. You are not going to want to miss what Nashville has in store.
Good morning, everyone. How's it going, Mike, Nolan, Shinobi, Mark? How are you guys all doing?
Let's get sued. Let's get sued. Let's get sued.
I love life more than ever. Love life more than ever.
Happy to be here. Happy to talk about this interesting morning for sure. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Just a wonderful morning to get sued by the Federal Reserve. And if we could also invite Zach Shapiro up here to speak. He's the lawyer who's helping us with this wonderful case that came to us this week.
Yep, I'll add him, or if you could request, that'd be great. I'll look for him.
I almost did it, guys. I held myself back. I didn't do it, but I almost did it. We'll just let the listeners have no idea what I'm talking about.
So I think it would be good to kick this off. I know all this news just happened. We just dropped this news about 30 minutes ago. For those of you who are wondering, we did receive a cease and desist letter from the Federal Reserve because of our clothing and content that we had for our FedNow, which we decided to turn into merchandise. And it was our critique on the surveillance state of the FedNow product. They are not too happy with us. And once again, they issued this cease and desist. We've just responded to the cease and desist last night, and we're going public with it now. So we just felt like it would be great to share that with everybody, the story behind it, what's going on, why we're doing it, and to hear maybe some suggestions from everyone else of some what other wonderful clothing we can have to make sure that the Federal Reserve knows what we're all about. So we'd love to, if it's okay, Zach, would love to have you tell everyone what actually legally is happening right now before we jump into the conversation.
Zach, I don't know if you forgot to unmute, but you're up on stage now and you're still muted.
Gotta love the stability of spaces.
Well, it's good because all lawyers always tell you not to say anything at all times. So he's just practicing proper legal tactics.
Oh, sorry. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you now. Yes.
Now we can hear you. Um, I'm a half lawyer, so I can give a bit of legal context. By half lawyer, I mean I went to law school and worked in the field and have a basic literacy in what's going on, but I'm not really a lawyer. Didn't write any bar or anything like that, but I've been applying this to our field for quite a while. And what's neat about this case, to me anyway, is that, of course, Bitcoin Magazine started particularly as a technical magazine to explain the engineering behind the Bitcoin network. Of course, it branched out into Wall Street and macroeconomics and politics, but at its core, it remains a technical magazine. And then imagine that satirical criticism of an engineering network is enough to bring about this type of case, which is fun because, you know, you've got the specter in America right now of the Missouri versus Biden case, which is about First Amendment rights being abridged by private companies being forced and leveraged by the government to do what they can't do, right, which is to censor Americans. So we saw that with the Twitter files and other cases. So what's neat about this is that it sort of fits squarely in there, except for the Federal Reserve, of course, is not part of the government. So that's a huge literacy opportunity that we have with this case to just show that these are, you know, what the nature of this entity really is. And it's just such a sign of weakness, which is great. Like, who doesn't love this kind of weakness? It's hilarious. It's pure clown world. It fits exactly in the theme of, it's as absurd for them to be critiquing an engineering magazine as it is to say that Joe Biden is the leader of the free world. It's as hilarious as that. So it's a big opportunity, I think, for everyone.
That's true. Zach, I think Zach is able to be out of whatever bubble and be able to speak now. So Zach would love as our legal counsel for this to describe what's going on, if the phone works.
Yeah, sure thing. Can you hear me okay now?
Yep.
Great. So look, because this is an ongoing thing, there's a limited amount I can say. But, you know, as Mike mentioned, Bitcoin Magazine received this cease and desist on October 27th. And I just want to read one line from the cease and desist that I think sort of captures the absurdity of this whole situation. So direct quote here, Bitcoin Magazine's use of the FedNow mark in this manner is likely to cause confusion, mistakes, or deception. Consumers are likely to believe that the gear is associated with, affiliated with, or endorsed by the Federal Reserve when no such association or relationship exists between the Federal Reserve and Bitcoin Magazine. And look, the idea that the Fed is making an allegation that Bitcoin Magazine, of all institutions, is misleading its customers into thinking it has a buddy-buddy licensing relationship with the Fed. You know, look, either this is a sort of weird, desperate act, or, you know, if you're acting more cynically, this is, I think, a chilling matter in terms of free speech, right? Bitcoin Magazine exists in large part for the purpose of political and cultural criticism, you know, especially of the Fed. And the idea that, you know, a deputy GC there would come out and make these types of legal threats, I think is really unfortunate to see.
Thank you for that, Zach. And thank you once again for stepping in and helping us this week as we went through this. Obviously, we also look at this as a, and as Nolan mentioned, a great opportunity for us to get the message out there. Describe why we have concerns about FedNow as a service itself, and on the surveillance side of it and the security side. And you know, I think, you know, Mr. O'Dell would love for you to even share a little bit about maybe your opinions on the FedNow financial service and why we as Bitcoiners should be very nervous about that and trying to inform the public.
Fuck the Fed. This is my first time on Twitter in since August. But our boy Rizzo reached out to me yesterday, said this was going down, and it seems incredibly important, so I made sure to make it. What the Fed wants to do, what's governments around the world want to do is they want to transition us to a fully digital system that is completely surveilled and controlled. if they have their way, every transaction you make can be easily censored, can be easily tracked, can be used against you at will. That's incredibly dystopian. Bitcoin shows a brighter path, you know, a path where we have money that doesn't rely on trust on any individual institution or entity. So this is an incredibly important aspect of the Bitcoin mission. But then furthermore, the idea that free speech can be trampled on in America is a scary reality. And it's important that Bitcoin Magazine fights this case, and you guys have my full support.
Well, thank you for getting off your hiatus for Twitter to jump on and join us. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Odell. It's great to, you know, sorry you have to come slum it back here on Twitter with us, but it's greatly appreciated to see you. Yeah, I think
I told Rizzo that, of course, I have your back, but there's no shot in hell I'm getting a blue check. So as long as I was allowed to get on the stage without a blue check, I was going to be here.
Well, I'm right there with you on the disrespector of the blue check. But yeah, I think just based on, you know, jumping off a lot of the things that Odell just said, I mean, this is, you know, we just absolutely cannot be intimidated by this, by the Federal Reserve to not be able to, as a media company, to not make, you know, parody and commentary on these systems that are being created. And it's exceptionally important for, you know, citizens to be able to, and anybody, but citizens of a country with First Amendment protections to be able to make commentary on political action and infrastructure that's being built that has direct effects. You know, I think there is a lot of misunderstanding on what FedNow is. It's not a CBDC, it's an interbank clearing network, but it has incredible implications on the way the monetary system works, the US monetary system, the banking system. And it really, you know, centralizes more and more of, you know, the levers.
Merc cut out for anyone else?
Yeah,
I'm getting an echo here.
That's just the Fed cutting you out. They want to censor you.
Strange echo there. I apologize, but it really centralizes a lot of the you know, the levers that the Fed can. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
And see, folks, that's the power of self-censorship that that the Fed was trying to put on us, as you can tell here by trying to censor Mark being able to speak. Look, this is fun. We want to have Twitter spaces. We're excited about this. Obviously, one is to showcase what's currently happening when this news gets out, because it can be quite confusing what our plans are for how we plan on to fight this. This is something that our entire team will not stand for, and we will, you know, be able to fight this to whatever ends that is. Obviously, the Federal Reserve is a big, scary organization, but you know, we believe we have the right legal position here. And on top of this, you know, I just want to say every good revolution deserves a T-shirt, and the T-shirt itself is an act of rebellion. And so it might sound funny that with all the content that we've ever produced at Bitcoin Magazine and all the conferences and everything else, the Federal Reserve has never said anything. And all of a sudden they're getting most upset about our T-shirt. So, you know, the T-shirt has always been an item of rebellion. It's always been that of the working class. Was really invented by miners to escape the heat and when people went off to war. And once again, it's always been a great way to have a political statement of self-expression. So I'm actually kind of proud that of all things that we're going to get the Federal Reserve to pay attention, that it came down to a T-shirt. That is not for me to just hawk T-shirt sales all the time, but I'm sure you've already seen what David Bailey has made out. We'll have a hell of a lot more coming out. And I think, you know, there could be a whole new apparel line just to make sure that the Federal Reserve is aware of our opinion.
Can you guys hear me? Am I back? Am I coming through clear?
Yes.
Oh man, I apologize for that. The Fed are listening. And I think that's another important aspect of this too, my friends, is the Federal Reserve's legal counsel is reading content about Bitcoin Magazine or about Bitcoin from Bitcoin Magazine. They're reading our commentary. We went very hard in the withdrawal issue, on the regional banking issues that we're having that are, in my opinion, you know, very directly downstream of you know, sudden changes in Fed policy, and that they should be very aware and take a lot of responsibility for, you know, putting, you know, Americans kind of in this position due to this, you know, government lockdowns, Treasury, huge printing, 0% rates, and then the fastest rate hikes in the history of U.S. finance. And it's very strange that, you know, this is the this is an action being taken at this time when there's so much issue, so much danger, both with runaway debt and just with, you know, mismanaged bond portfolios across the banking industry, to be taking the time and the money to be harassing, you know, people that are trying to make legitimate political commentary on these systems that are being built, the perpetuators of these systems and the implications of these systems. And I think we absolutely, you know, I'm very proud to be a part of this company that wants to push back on this and not just, it would have been very easy to just roll over. And I think going up against the beast here is clearly the right move. Yeah, I mean, free speech is so exceptionally important. First Amendment protections are incredibly important. And we have every right to make fun of this fucking thing, with an all-seeing eye in the Fed now, and really just jabbing at this and in all the ways that we jabbed at it in that issue and in another content across the years. You know, that is absolutely our right. Not only is it our right, it's something we should be doing anyway, even if it wasn't our right, but it is our right. And so we have absolutely every right to continue this commentary, to continue to make, you know, hopefully biting and prudent comment on these infrastructures. Yeah, I really appreciate the support and, yeah, look forward to, you know, defending our First Amendment protections via kind of this pushback here.
Thank you very much for that breakdown, Mr. Poolwell. It's good to hear from you, Jerome.
And real quick, I just want to say for everyone who's wondering this, this didn't start off as a T-shirt. This was an image we had in obviously our most recent withdrawal issue. And it just so happens the FedNow, our logo for it happens to be on page 21. So I find that to be quite fitting that happens to be a page. Maybe it's a sign from the Satoshis that obviously this is one to focus on. But for those also wondering, the Fed hasn't come after us yet because the last page in our magazine, we have a mock ad for Fiatinol. Because if you look at that FedNow instant payment logo, nothing speaks more than failure in government than when the government tries to make a logo for consumers. And it does look like it is a horrible prescription logo. You know, FedNow, it says 24/7 with a big, you know, something that's spinning for an O. I mean, this is just the worst graphic design. And I'm sure the government must have spent millions of dollars to have someone say this is what it should do, because you know it 24/7 instant payments. So it does look like a really bad nasal spray to help allergies, and we do mock that in our magazine as well. So we'll hopefully, we always try to have our articles in our magazines at some point make it to print, but if you grab yourself a copy, you can see kind of the full force of our opinion on this.
Yeah, we invented a really, really neat concept. You see, you take this thing that somebody else made, and then you tweak it just a little bit to make fun of it. You know, it's a really, you know, brilliant breakthrough, I think, by Bitcoin Magazine. We're blazing the legal trail here.
I mean, I do think that it's worth a moment to appreciate that we do have this First Amendment right. And look, as Bitcoiners, we are often rightfully critical of our government and critical of the way that our rights get applied or don't apply. But it's great that we live in a country where this type of parody is legally protected, even if people forget that sometimes. And, you know, you don't get thrown in jail for doing a Winnie the Pooh cartoon.
But you do, Zach. People have been. I mean, there's people who did memes for the election that are in jail now. I mean, we don't have freedom of speech. You can say we have it. But that's what I think is great about this case. you know, people have a tendency to see Bitcoin as like just this engineering project. No, it's real and now and happening. And to focus the attention on what we've already lost, like it is late in the game. I continue to have a very accelerated Bitcoin timeline because of these reasons. We can't live with these systems for much longer. We're not going to be able to make it. So when you see a case like this and it really focuses attention on the things we've lost, we're trying to get back freedom of speech. We're not defending it. It's long gone. Forget it. Totally algorithmically wiped away by dopamine dealers and all these other psychopaths running the internet. So this is our chance. Like this will squarely put Bitcoin into the 2024 conversations. This is the same kind of censorship that's been going on across government and every level. And that we're participating in is a great thing. I think it's hilarious. We have to thank the God of the simulation for this, because this couldn't be better. This is a great opportunity to really show that Bitcoin is not a 2060 plan to maybe save capitalism. It's literally now or never. And this puts us front stage in the 2024 election, as far as I'm concerned, or at least adds to the narrative around World War III really being about individual rights versus governments and all these other things. So this is great. This is fun. I mean, this is why we're here. Freedom of speech is long gone. We got to get it back.
It's not long gone, my friend. It never left. Free speech is up to you to use it and stress it and stress test it and push the limits of it. They can write and they can write cease and desist letters and do anything they want. We have the right to talk and make commentary of anything, regardless of anything. That is absolutely well within our rights, or not rights, but well within our being as beings to make commentary. That's what we do. We're social creatures. We're meant to do that. So free speech has never gone anywhere. People are just trying to make you think that it has and threaten you with just ridiculous precedent. And we need to reject that at all costs. And we need to do it now.
And by the way, I want to say that's what makes a print magazine so great. The digital overlords, you know, they can try to censor us and remove things. But I look at every time we print this magazine and this article, which you will find in our magazine, these are just nodes that we just distribute everywhere. So once again, those stories will survive. Obviously, we have digital part of it, but you know that's the best thing about having it in print. You know, they can't get rid of them all. So unless they want to start burning books everywhere, they won't be able to stop us.
I just can't take this situation seriously on any level. Like this is just such a ridiculous joke.
It's what makes it perfect. It's hilarious.
It there's two things. We have to take it seriously because it is the Federal Reserve. And unfortunately, they have unlimited resources for when they want to bully and try to control things. But obviously, what makes it so comical and right up our alley is that this is what they want to go to, you know, battle with us about a T-shirt. So this is a battle that we're willing to fight. But I would like to just let people who support us, and then all the people who don't support us that are listening, we are going to take this as seriously as humanly possible and be funny and laugh about it the entire time. But don't let our laughter not, you know, disguise the fact of how important this is and why we're making this such a serious fight, because this is not one we will lose. This is something that we will continue to push. And even though it's taking our attention away when we should be putting it on other things, we think that this is the opportunity to have the conversational battle we've always wanted to have with them.
I think you've got taking it seriously for me, Mike. I'm gonna lean on you for that one.
Good. And I want you to call us out every time I take it too seriously. So you got to put that troll in there.
I can do that.
And speaking of trolling, for those of you interested, the amount of trolling that we're now going to be able to do with the Federal Reserve, we're very excited about. So we are packing up boxes galore of all of our magazines and issues, and we'll be sending those And also to all their privately held companies and weird branches that are all along the states. So you'll be seeing. Thank you for all of your hard work and support of our magazine, especially our subscribers. You know, I feel like, you know, you too, for $10 a month can feed the people at the Federal Reserve with some information on Bitcoin. So we might do a Sally Struthers commercial about how you can help inform those struggling at the Fed about what the future monetary policy should be.
See, it's like how do you expect me to take that seriously? Like how can I treat this like a serious situation?
It is as absolutely serious. I mean, when I look at all of our magazines, these are weapons, right? This is information that we get to share, that you get to hand someone. People take it a lot more seriously when something's in print, right? It doesn't just get lost in digital. So, you know, these boxes getting sent out, I mean, like, it's fun to, in the middle, you know, last night, talk to our warehouse and be like, here's the addresses, start packing. You know, I feel like we're deploying, you know, the 82nd.
Yeah, I mean, look, there is an element of this that's absurd here, right? The allegation that's being made is that the customers who are buying stuff on Bitcoin Magazine's website are going to think that there's some endorsement or relationship with the Fed that isn't there. And that is literally a silly thing to suggest. On the other hand, though, there is a serious part of this, which is, you know, trying to silence someone who is undergoing political critique of you. And, you know, if this had worked, if Bitcoin Magazine had just rolled over on this, that is the type of actual serious chilling of free speech that we need to be really concerned about, right? And so sometimes, you know, the absurd and the serious sort of bump into each other like this.
Also, I just want to throw the offer out there, Mike. I can hand deliver anything to the Chicago branch if you'd be amenable to that.
So what Zach said, by the way, like, I think it needs to be stated here that most publications would roll over. Like, Bitcoin Magazine's like a particularly breed of crazy to actually fight all of these type of things. So I don't think people should take that for granted. Like, most publications would just completely roll over. The Fed would get exactly what it wants, which is no criticism published about them. And we'd all be worse off for it. So kudos to all you guys for fighting it. A lot of respect there.
I mean, what choice do we really have, Odell? You know, I mean, I definitely appreciate the sentiment, but I mean, this is what the fuck are we doing here if we're going to let the Federal Reserve bully us around and push us around and not let citizens make commentary on their infrastructure? You know, like what are we all doing here as Bitcoiners? You know, what's the point of this entire thing if we're just going to let us get rolled over, you know?
Dude, the Damn Fed is right. Literally just like, some artist on the internet made fun of us, make them stop.
Damn fucking right, Mark. I never had a doubt. By the way, Mike, I'm sure you'd like this. I'm staying at an Airbnb with the fam, and I walked in, and on the coffee table is the gatekeeper's issue.
Yes, perfect. Well, I am at that. And, you know, I think you bring up a good point, which is not every media company would do this. And, you know, I've in the past that I've always been willing to fight, and what I saw actually was kind of chilling was the HODL not trial. You know, when we were going to cover what was happening with Craig Wright, there were a series of and in the crypto media space that were unwilling to cover this, that did not want to talk about it, that had internally in their company that this should not be brought because they had a slight fear of someone that could potentially take them to a legal action, even when they were well within their means doing the right thing because they were that afraid. And we've seen what the chilling effect is when someone is just always willing to threaten to sue, that what that does to media. So I always, you know, I believed in Bitcoiners. I believed in the freedom of speech is kind of why I was always became a Bitcoiner. But, you know, I saw other crypto companies that had a big voice and should have been able to help in that case, you know, be silent. And that scared me because I don't know if, you know, if this came to someone else and maybe the Fed thinks that they can do this because they've been able to force other media companies in our space to be silenced. Maybe they thought we'd be like that. And now they know we're not.
This is going to be so much fun.
And I'd like to thank David Belli, our CEO, for being willing to finance this. So thank you, David. I want to point out that we don't take that for granted. So as fun as it might be for us, there's also financial ramifications for him.
Yes, but Mike, you can go ahead and take things seriously for me so that I can treat this like a joke.
You just keep making good content that people read and you can do whatever you want. Sounds good.
Do you think it makes sense to do another little run through of kind of like what the hell is actually happening here and why this kind of came up? I know I think we got a significantly more people in here, I think, than we did at the beginning. Well, last week we got an email from the Federal Reserve Financial Services Deputy General Counsel that was basically accusing us of copyright infringement for a line of merchandise that we did that was directly mocking and making commentary on the FedNow interbank clearing system infrastructure that went live in July. We obviously, you know, vehemently deny this, and we are merely, you know, using our First Amendment protected rights to make absolute, you know, total legal parody of the Federal Reserve. And a big part of their claim was also that we would be somehow creating this like false association between the Federal Reserve and Bitcoin Magazine, as well as commentary that the Federal Reserve has spent a long time building up substantial goodwill in regards to their FedNow product and their Fed policy, and that this association or attempted association, as they're claiming, would be kind of working against that. And so, of course, you know, we took some time to think about it, but we didn't really, you know, I think mentally we were there from the get-go to be like, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is, of course, you know, parody, and we have every right to, you know, make commentary on these things. And then, you know, earlier today, you know, we made our formal open response here. We have Zach on the line here, who is our legal counsel for this, you know, defense of free speech protected parody. I don't know if you want to make another comment, Zach, and just kind of maybe any fill in any little things that I missed here, but yeah. You coming through, Zach?
Can you hear me right?
Yep.
Awesome. I missed what you last said.
Oh, great. Well, I was just curious if you wanted to fill in, if is there any other points that I missed there in regards to the legal knees here? Just kind of giving everybody a little update for people that have joined late on the premise of this.
Totally got it here. I think the two main points to make are, one, the assertion that Bitcoin Magazine is confusing its consumers who are buying this apparel that they have a relationship or endorsement by the Fed is, you know, ridiculous to the point of being actually genuinely funny. And the idea, you know, whether or not the Fed lawyers realize this, that the right response here is to say, don't have any of this gear that's parodying us and don't express these types of critical positions, is troubling to see. You know, the Fed is not literally a government agency, but they have the backing of government. I think that raises really important First Amendment concerns. And if that type of behavior is allowed to just run unchecked, that's really chilling to our free speech rights in the United States.
And Zach, once again, we appreciate you stepping in. And what is the name of your law firm again, just so everyone knows? And I think your background in the space is important because we want to make sure we not only – I think you're one of the best lawyers out there, but a lawyer who's been fighting in this space is important to us as well.
For sure. Thanks. Yeah, my firm is called Rains LLP. Our website is rains.law, R-A-I-N-S. We're a startup mostly in the transactional space, but we work with a lot of Bitcoin-focused startups. Right. And, you know, I'm, in addition to being a lawyer who specializes in company formation, corporate law, VC, et cetera, I'm definitely sort of a diehard Bitcoiner and believer in the mission here. And so I try and work with as many different Bitcoin founders. I think I have more than a dozen Bitcoin startups I work with at this point, and trying to move the tech and the business models forward.
Well, we appreciate you and what you do for the industry, and thank you for helping us with this case.
Truly my pleasure.
And yes, and I know obviously you both don't want this to go anywhere legally, and you want them to drop it and maybe slightly hope that it does. So once again, we're just happy you're a Bitcoiner and you really want what's best for Bitcoin. So we appreciate that. And I can see CK's here, and CK, CK, who helped really build Bitcoin Magazine to what it is now, who's now on his new mission. CK, you're missing out on all the fun of us going through a lawsuit this week. So we miss having you there as a voice of reason and craziness with us, but happy to see you listening in.
Yeah, speaking of, do we want to maybe open up the floor and get some folks up here? There he is. There he is.
What's up, y'all? Yeah, I already missed the shenanigans.
Well, they saw that you were you were gone, and they were like, "Now's the time." You know, they were salivating, waiting.
Yeah, kind of. You know, when the first letter happened, Rizzo gave me a call, and my jaw just dropped. I could not believe that tactically the Fed had such a blunder as to put this into motion. So I have to say thank you to their incompetence, and kudos to Bitcoin Magazine for not being scared.
Not scared at all. 0% scared. This is absolutely something that we need to do. It is totally mission aligned. This is even not as a professional thing, as a personal thing. I mean, this is just, I think this is so much to the point of what we're doing here. I think that there is a lot of action in the Bitcoin space that is very apologetic to the Federal Reserve or the dollar and a lot of things. And I'm really happy to know that, we're not perpetuating that. And, we're sticking the flag in the ground here, just to sort of say, hey, we're not going to be intimidated by, people I don't want to get defamation here, but people that we really don't respect and that have done a lot of damage to the world and to our country and to the working class. And I think this is just absolutely the right move to continue to make commentary and parody merchandise and magazines and to push back against this just egregious attempt at intimidation and silencing of criticism in order to protect what they called an invaluable asset. I think that's a funny thing in this letter that they sent to us. They literally refer to FedNow as an invaluable asset. Why is it an invaluable asset? What is this brand that you're protecting? What part of your mandate is telling you that you should go out and take legal action against a media company that's making commentary on your quote unquote invaluable assets? This is absolutely something that we should do and we must do and we will.
That's how you know you're over the target.
Also, just for everyone listening in, I mean, one of the things about Bitcoiners, they're smart people and really dig into things and sometimes maybe super focused. But the other great thing about this is we've just spent the week looking at all of FedNow's trademarks, licenses, images, and really gone down that web, which I think is probably something they don't want us to do. So if you actually look at it, when they actually allowed that trademark to expire because they registered it years previously never did anything with it. So now all of a sudden, for all of you smart people out there, you should be sleuthing around to see when did this FedNow service actually start? Looked like it was started during the last administration. And why was it put on hold? Why was it all of a sudden now, why did it start happening now? And then for all the feds listening in, don't forget, you don't have the trademark on apparel for FedNow. So just want to let you know who's already applied for it. So look forward to having that discussion with you. So once again, you know, now we can actually sit there and take a look at this thing. You have something like, you know, the Fed out of Chicago be the one that has to sit there and supply the complaint, but yet it's on behalf of the Fed. It just goes to show how murky all these organizations are. And now all of a sudden you've given us an interest and all of a sudden excitement for us to start rooting through all these things and to kind of really point out what ownership is for something that is, you know, they're looking to kind of, you know, what they're trying to create here. And more importantly, look, we have a job as Bitcoiners to promote and defend Bitcoin. However, when no one is, you know, there's only been, I don't think that there's been enough content on what's happening with FedNow. If you look at all the announcements that they make, you know, it's very much like we're going to add things later. And all of a sudden everyone's supposed to be okay. They go on the FedNow website. It's a infographic of streets. It like shows a bunch of buildings. It's like, look into a building and see what that means in each topic. And I'm like, wow, only the government would say the best way to have a website is to show a surveillance of an entire city and eavesdrop into that building to find out the information you want. I mean, it's absolutely asinine. It looks like a, you know, one of those multi, you know, million-dollar websites that the Fed contracted out to someone. But, you know, we really need to be – the question is obviously that it's about promoting Bitcoin, but the media has shown absolutely no desire to talk about FedNow or look into this. And this is extremely scary. I mean, it really does make us nervous over at Bitcoin Magazine, and it should make other Bitcoiners nervous. But really, the mainstream media has done absolutely nothing to report on this. And this is something I think that we'll continue to report on, we'll consider to be critical about. I mean, any agency that says, hey, we're going to add a bunch of new features to our money at a later date for your safety – I mean, this is, you know, it feels like the Patriot Act for money that, you know, we need to be seriously be critical of and look forward to. You know, we have such great people on the spaces. You know, we have great contributor network, something that actually CK built out our contributor network. We want to continue to encourage people and get the right contributors to actually really do their research and report on this, because this is something that if the mainstream media is not going to do it, we'll do it. And if we have to sell t-shirts to make it possible, we will.
I love it. I mean, we know that the mainstream media is complicit. You know, that's why we have Bitcoin startup media and grassroots media and all the people on the ground doing the real work. So, you know, again, cheers to y'all. And, you know, Zach kind of mentioned this, but how weird is the Fed? Is it a government agency? Like, FedNow is something that all banks have to use, and it's going to upgrade our money, but they have theoretically a trademark on it. It's just like, it's a brand. It's just weird. Like, the whole situation is kind of weird. So I'm glad that, you know, now there's a reason to ask even more questions.
Yeah, it is a bit strange, the whole thing, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. How do we feel about opening up? We got some friends in the audience, I think, would love to come up and chat here. No, I see.
Could we be missing something, guys? Could there actually be Bitcoiners in the Fed that knowingly committed a giant tactical blunder just to help things? Could that be going on?
It's when you can't tell the difference that it gets interesting. When you can't tell clown world from deliberate activity, you're on the right scent when that's happening, right?
Well, hey, I know there's some great folks like Rizzo and Nancyos in the audience. I'll let them take my spot, y'all. I'll be listening in, but really interested to see how this unfolds.
I do think that there's a nice point there, Shinobi, that we kind of talked about a little bit earlier, but I don't know so much about this, you know, a Bitcoiner being there at the Fed, but it's obviously true that, you know, they read our magazines and they take a look at our store and, you know, they ingest our content to some degree to be able to have even seen this, right? And I think that definitely speaks to kind of the maturity of you know, the Bitcoin media space that, you know, people are actually paying attention to some degree. You know, this is going to keep happening if we keep, you know, poking the beast in the eye here, which we will. We commit to doing that. But yeah, I mean, this is big time. I mean, this is, you know, we are being read and communicated with by the literal Federal Reserve. It's very interesting times indeed for Bitcoin media, I would say. Absolutely. And
two things on that. If you guys are looking for some information on inside agents inside of the Federal Reserve, go look at two comic books they wrote about 20 years ago called The Road to Ruta and Wishes and Rainbows. They're children's books. But they do suggest people understand what's going on. They're written like the way a hostage would write a note to the outside world. So these were Fed Reserve staff that wrote education materials that you should all have a look at. It's pretty interesting stuff. And like I said, written as hostages, which is why I want to say this. Every time I hear Jerome Powell say the US dollar has nothing to worry about as long as America remains a rules-based rule of law nation, I can't stop laughing. I hear a hostage. It's a hostage. He's a lawyer saying that America has to have a rules-based legal order in order to have credible money, which is hilarious. And now that they're doing this, it makes it even better. So he's a hostage. I think he's a hostage. That's what I hear anyway.
Yeah, I think that's great. Mark, I just brought up some people, so open up the floor. I think we'll start with Cosmo, then we'll go over to Zach, and then we'll go over to Gold Leader. So if you have a question, Cosmo, go ahead. Feel free to ask it.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Sounds great.
This reminds me so much of the reading that I've done around the big obscenity trial for the poem Howl that Allen Ginsberg wrote and which was published by City Lights Books in the late 50s, early 60s, I think, by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And it was basically considered by the government as an obscene poem, but it's actually a fucking amazing poem. And so what happened was they held a trial for it. And during the actual trial, the prosecuting lawyer had to read portions of the poem to the people in the courtroom as if to say, this is obscene. But what he ended up doing was reading portions that were so beautiful that everybody was like awed by it. And it only like instantiated the poem in the public mind as something beautiful and amazing. And so what I'm thinking about is if the Federal Reserve, if the Fed now folks are smart, they'll drop this. They won't do anything about it. But if they decide to like be stupid and take this as far as they can possibly take it, you guys have so many opportunities to read like the words of Satoshi, the words of Bitstein, the words of Nick Szabo, everything, right? Like I have a feeling that like the level of psychopathic, fantastic quotes that you'll be able to bring to bear upon this case will just be like marvelous.
Yeah, I love that energy. There's a great opportunity, absolutely, for sure. Thank you so much, man. Zach, what's going on?
Yeah, hey. No, it's awesome that you guys are kind of standing up for this. And I'm just wondering now with like holiday season approaching, are there going to be any expansions to the current FedNow merch line? Or were you guys going to get those hats restocked? Those look pretty sick.
Well, I love that question. Thank you for asking that. We are absolutely, as you can imagine, last couple of days, our entire team has been so excited about making new products and apparel, and everything will be restocked. Good news is we have a full warehouse. And for those of you who don't know, we ship out all of our products. We have our own warehouse. We take it very seriously, you know, when we have to send out things to addresses. And if you even see when we send out our magazine, it's all cardboard covered, so no one even knows you're getting it. So we take that very seriously, and we have a big warehouse, and we want to be able to use it. So we can't wait to stock up with a lot more products and see that we're going to be pushing out for the next couple of days and weeks, and especially in time for Bitcoin Black Friday, which we own the domain. Maybe we should do something with that.
Yeah, Gold Leader, if you have a question, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, actually, it's actually kind of related to that. Just before you guys entered into this new marketing plan with Jerome Powell, I was wondering if you guys did any numbers, any kind of projections to see what kind of sales you were going to make off of this merch.
Yeah, that's the ultimate conspiracy here, Gold. Yes, this was actually a plan that we worked with Jerome here to. No, I don't believe that was the case. I think Shinobi's already started that. That there's some Bitcoiner at the Fed here. No, I assure you, just this one? Was genuine. Yeah, that we know of, you know.
This is fucking awesome. I really can't wait to see some of the, you know, evidence submitted in this trial.
Red team, go. Red team, go.
I mean, I guess when we were doing the numbers, I just kept thinking of Powell at a printer machine, but just printing out T-shirts instead of money. I just had that GIF in my head. So we did not do any mathematics. We did not sit there and actually do the numbers as much as I just saw that image, you know, continually repeating.
That's an image I'd like to see. Just Powell with a sport jacket on, no tie, just standing there in front of a silkscreen machine.
We should get the crypto couple to enact the hypothetical business arrangement. That could be some good content for them.
That would be great. Bitcoiner Chris, welcome to the stage. What question do you have for us?
Guys, I just wanted to pop up and say congratulations. You must be stoked. I'm looking out for merch, and I have no questions. I just thought, you know, I should pop up and wish you all well. So, yeah, onwards and upwards.
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it. Larry Fink, you are now up on stage. Maybe you're a part-time owner of the Federal Reserve, but love to hear your comments. What's your question for us, Larry?
We are hearing from clients around the world about the need for crypto. I mean, when you think about, I think some of this rally is way beyond the rumor. I think the rally today is about a flight to quality with all the, you know, all the issues around the Israeli war now, global terrorism. And I think there's more people running into a fight to quality, whether that is in treasuries, gold, or crypto, depending on how you think about it. And I believe crypto will play that type of role as a flight to quality.
That was incredible. That was not planned, but thank you, Larry. That was much appreciated.
Watch out. You're going to be getting a cease and desist letter yourself, Larry Fink Parody. Careful now.
Yeah, I think we're kind of wrapping up now. I'm not really seeing too many more hands coming up, so I'll kick it over to Mark or Mike if we want to keep going, or what we want to do here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would love to. You know, we got we got Adele here. You know, taking a sabbatical from a sabbatical into the land of the blue checks and the Twitter WeChat machine. So, would love to. Yeah, talk with Odell a little bit more here while we got him, you know. So yeah, man. I mean, what's going on with you? How's life over on the Nostr platform? Is this any movement going on over there in regards to this? Anybody talking about it?
So, I think you made a very salient point multiple times in the spaces. Which is this idea that rights are not granted by a government to its people. It requires people to actually take and defend those rights and for those rights to actually exist. And that's why it's incredibly important that you guys are fighting this case. But that's why I find it incredibly important to fight back against big tech and where I see Twitter going, unfortunately, or X, as it's now called, is basically to a privatized social credit score, CBDC type system. And I think it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of pushback on CBDCs and social credit scores coming from the US government directly. But it's kind of a clever, like my concern is mostly because I think like Elon has what it takes. I think he has what it takes, and he figured out that if you use soft incentives and engagement and dopamine and the carrot of providing revenue to people, right? Providing ad revenue, a portion of that ad revenue split and paying off his big influencers, that you can get buy-in from most people that would otherwise be against it. And for a long time, Twitter had problems. It always had problems, but I continued to be a power user because I really did not see any real alternative. But now, fortunately, we have Noster. And Noster is this promise of a interoperable, open, permissionless, censorship-resistant communications protocol that can do what Twitter does without relying on permission on the people that run Twitter, and without providing your ID information, without providing KYC information. And it's completely usable with Bitcoin as well. So it has Bitcoin payments integrated. To me, it's this bright new future. And I think people will come around to it over time. I mean, right now it's still quite early.
Yeah, for sure. I think it really, you know, goes to, you know, it just shows that, you know, we need to make sure we have, you know, a lot of outlets and alternative public squares to be able to post this stuff, as we're seeing, you know, very powerful government, private, but government entities, you know, taking legal action against small, you know, media companies. Well, not small, but compared to the Federal Reserve, you know. So I think it definitely goes to show that, you know, we need to be really careful about, you know, building the architecture and the infrastructure to, you know, to uphold free speech, whether that's printing physical magazines, making T-shirts, creating alternative social media and relay systems, working with torrents, doing fun things. You know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be built and needs to be done, because, you know, we have to actively sort of flex these rights and build alternative structures that can't just be, you know, shut down at a whim, you know, when the centralized baddies decide that, you know, wrong think is happening. And that's really what is happening here. They're upset that we're criticizing them. That to me seems very clear. And you know, you can fight that by using their channels, which you have to do, but also fight them by using our own channels. I think great sentiment there, Odell. Super happy to have you here, man. It looks like we got another speaker up here. Do you got a question or a comment, Money Moves Markets?
Yep. Thank you guys so much for having me. Honestly, I just wanted to pop up here and say thank you very much for, you know, putting the space together. Something that was just right along that we were talking about with, you know, the privacy concerns and just like overall control. I actually just attended a really great meeting by the Cake Wallet team in downtown Chicago last night. And just along those lines of, you know, really not allowing the centralized authorities to, like, you know, let us, you know, do what we want to do. Another one of the onboarding processes that we understand with Bitcoin is that it is pseudonymous, not anonymous. So this is not a push for Monero, but with Cake Wallet, you can convert between Monero and Bitcoin. And so I believe that that conversion process with the ring signatures can help strip away a little bit of that identity that purchasers have with that connection to a KYC AML process with a centralized exchange, and then use a ring signature to then transfer it to another Bitcoin wallet, actually, because you can create contracts within Cake Wallet. So that was just something cool, and I just wanted to you know, put that out there. So thank you.
I mean, that is a useful tool, Money, but I just want to point out for anybody listening who might want to do that they should be very careful in doing that, because the privacy that you can gain from that is completely limited by the liquidity people are swapping between the two. So if there is very low liquidity there, it's not going to provide meaningful privacy. So that is something anybody doing something like that should take into account when they're doing it.
And just heads up, you said you were at an event in Chicago. We got this letter from the Federal Reserve in Chicago. So just watch out. They might be in your meetings as well.
I was dead serious too. Like anything you're sending out to the Chicago branch, I will go hand deliver in person.
I'm going to be dressing up as a newsie outside the New York Federal Reserve, trying to sell the magazine issues to people. So I already got my newsie outfit. I'm pumped.
Oh, this is so great.
Hello, John. How's it going? Welcome.
All right, Mark. How are you? You okay?
I'm great, man. Yeah, thank you so much. Good to hear from you. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, not bad. This kind of chat popped up on my Twitter feed. I thought sounded kind of quite important that the Federal Reserve is going to want to sue your magazine. So I'm based in England, and is it FedNow that's suing you, or the actual central bank, the Federal Reserve?
So we received a letter from the Federal Reserve's Financial Services Deputy General Counsel, representing the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, which represents all 12 of the banks in the Federal Reserve System, defending the FedNow service image and trademark. So it was a member of the Federal Reserve's Financial Services Deputy General, which is the Deputy General Counsel, representing the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, representing all 12 banks.
So that's essentially the American Central Bank suing a magazine. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean,
and as far as I know, I think this is the first proactive legal action that the Federal Reserve has ever taken.
I mean, do they have like the kind of legal basis to do that? I mean,
well, obviously we think no, this is First Amendment protected rights. This is parody. We are allowed to make commentary on the FedNow system. It's well within our rights to express. Is that what you mean? Or
yeah,
specifically
it just seems like a bit like overreach to me. So I'm based in England, as you know. And I think also, as you also know, is that I've kind of like conducted some correspondence between, well, myself personally and like my Member of Parliament that got escalated to the Treasury in the UK about the development of CBDC, central bank digital currencies. My point is that they don't have I read the Bank of England Act 1998 one Sunday morning, and it's like a central bank doesn't really have the kind of mandate to develop that kind of currency or that kind of money. It's not really what they're there for. And when I saw this thing kind of pop up on my timeline about an hour ago or so, whatever, it's a bit surprising that they would take that kind of measure, or they would like write you they've written you a cease and desist letter from making like parodies on the value of the American dollar. Is that about right?
For making parody on the FedNow interbank clearing system.
Yeah, it just seems a bit kind of overreach. I mean, I'm sure you've got decent, good lawyers on your side. I've listened to some of you guys talking. It just seems a bit ridiculous. But then on the other hand, I DM'd you a little while ago. I mean, like, if it all goes kind of wrong and they kind of, I mean, the Federal Reserve's coming after you. I mean, that's not to be taken lightly. But, I mean, worst case, could the magazine move kind of jurisdiction? I mean, if you're based somewhere else, then...
We're never going to move jurisdiction. Being based in the U.S., the freedom of speech liberties that we have are extremely important. We take this very seriously. I want to make sure everyone, you know, we can joke about this. We take this very seriously, but we know we're right. So we have to fight. We have to fight this, whatever the case may be. There's no moving jurisdictions. There's none of that. And if this is something they want to look, if they're going to come after us for this, they're going to come after us for the content that we create in the next 6 months and the next year. We'll just have to make sure that we're always smart with how we do this.
Yeah.
But you know, we're not going to stop.
Yeah, well, good luck, because it just seems a kind of quite a heavy, kind of handed kind of way from the Fed Reserve, from your central bank to kind of, yeah, it just seems a bit ridiculous, really.
It's definitely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, which is why that, you know, we're responding in the way that we did, because it's, I mean, this is just a very clear flex and an intimidation attempt to stifle criticism and parody that's totally First Amendment protected, not to just keep repeating myself. But, you know, this is absolutely an attempt to intimidate us into, you know, watering down or diluting our commentary and our pushback on these centralizing systems that have caused so much damage, you know, to Americans, to the global population, you know, to the working class, you know, these people that are really dealing with very downstream of wishy-washy Federal Reserve and Treasury policy.
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing with so much because of that. And now we're seeing the sort of the new founding of the Digital Federal Reserve. And, you know, FedNow is a really important part of that, of keeping the private capital creation in the banks, in the Fed picked banks. And so, yeah, they don't want any criticism of it. And this is sort of unprecedented legal action from them.
Yeah.
We think it's absolutely our duty to stand up to it and say, absolutely not. We will not be silenced or intimidated. We don't care that you literally have, you know, the ability to create capital out of nothing, complete with the Treasury. You know, we will absolutely, you know, look forward to defending our First Amendment protected rights to free speech in both, you know, in the public eye. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting, like over in the UK, we don't really have a kind of formally kind of defined constitution like you guys do in the US. Like there isn't a written down constitution. It's just kind of evolved over time. But I find it difficult to imagine that something like the Bank of England would get involved in this kind of action. And that's kind of why it kind of caught my eye when I saw it appear on my timeline, that it sounds like you guys are going to have to. Sounds like you guys are going to be involved in a not a war, but a kind of, yeah. Well, John,
we've been at war. This is just, you know, the next step and next advancement. I appreciate the well wishes, but you know, this has been going on for a long time. This is a huge part of, you know, the way that, you know, kind of the powers that be mitigate and stifle criticism.
Yeah, it's almost embarrassing the kind of way that traditional authorities have reacted to Bitcoin, as in it's it's embarrassing. I think it's kind of just something new has evolved, come up out of almost nowhere. I mean, we can speculate on where it has come from, but the way they've reacted to it, you know, to start kind of going down the route of kind of legal actions and cease and desist and all of that kind of thing, it's anyway,
it's the Federal Reserve. I mean, like, they're very they know how powerful they are.
Yeah, for sure.
This seems like exactly the type of thing that they could do. And once again, if you give a cease and desist, it's a private thing. You expect, you know, you expect we're gonna get afraid and say no and walk away, right? And then some lawyer at the Federal Reserve feels good about what they did. But it takes people to say, no, we're not going to back down. That this isn't right.
Yeah.
Know that we're willing to go the distance. And that's the only way that all of a sudden these things can come to light. Because if we didn't, it would just have been another email between a lawyer and a company, and everyone would have been quiet on the other end.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen to us. And you know, I appreciate it. And I appreciate it. I can hear from your voice the deep concern that you have for us in the confusion, and we are confused, but we're pretty steadfast. So I appreciate that. Thanks for being a supporter. And, you know, we'll see, you know, I'm sure we'll tell you where we come out at the end of all this.
Yeah. This one last question. Did it come out of the blue then, or did you have any kind of inkling that this was coming, or did it just kind of.
We received it last week, the letter of cease and desist, and had not seen anything prior. And in fact, I think the Federal Reserve has always gone out of their way not to interact with any of our content, talk to any of our people. But, you know, that's now all changed.
That's not, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but that's not really good legal practice in itself, is it? Just to kind of just like bomb you with something that you weren't expecting?
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, maybe we win the legal case and then we can take over the money printers and turn them into printing magazines and just use them as a printing press.
Right, yeah. So
that's kind of our game plan.
All right. Well, good luck, you guys. Anyway, thanks for listening to me. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, I just have to say, you guys can continue this. I got to get back because I got to get on the phone with some more lawyers. And I just want to say I love and appreciate all of you and thanks for being supporters of us. And see you soon.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to drop as well. Keep up the good fight. Massive respect. You have my full support. Fuck the Fed. And beware of Elon. He's coming for your money, everything. Cheers.
Right on. But do we want to wrap things up here? Does anyone else want to come on up and talk? What are we thinking, guys?
I think we'd take maybe like two more questions and then we'll wrap up. You think that works?
Sure. Yeah, of course. If anyone has anything they want to say, come on up. Free speech space, of course.
I see Yellow down there. He's always got a little nugget of wisdom.
Speak of the devil, I'm bringing Yellow up as we speak. But I think Bill is here first. So, Bill, if you have a question, feel free to go first, and then we'll go with Yellow next.
Hey, thanks. I really appreciate being able to get printed in your magazine last couple times here. I think three articles. I love what Bitcoin Magazine is doing. As a 23-year combat vet in the Army, I was a military planner, so operational strategic planning. I left the Army early because I could no longer be part of what we were doing overseas. But as I look at what's happening now with the Fed and with you, and as a military planner, have you, and I'm sure you have you spent a lot of time thinking, what is the Fed trying to do here? And not just the superficial first blush, knee-jerk thought, because when I look at adversaries or when I'm planning operations, et cetera, I posit that the enemy is much smarter and that they know what they're doing. I don't go in initially thinking that the enemy is somewhat dumb or that they're myopic. In this case, we know that the government in many cases is such a blundering colossus that they just bumble around and really don't think things through really well. However, with the Fed, what do we think that they're doing here? Surely you would think that right off the bat, they wouldn't think that they could win something like this. Do you think that they're just trying to feel out whether you can be intimidated so easily without putting up a fight? Or do you think that there's something more beyond that, another level that they're trying to push to? Because if they're indeed reading your articles, if they're indeed looking at your shop and your merch, you have to think that they would come away with an assessment that, hey, these guys aren't going to lay down. They're not going to roll over. So if we give them a cease and desist, we're going to go into the octagon. We're going to have to take it to the mat. What are your thoughts on that?
I think when we did talk earlier about the idea that there is someone inside who would do this on purpose in order to create an attention-grabbing blunder, because it's the only thing that would make any sense. Like you said, this can't work. It can't work. Like, it's a dumb idea, right? You have to be drunk to think this is a good plan, or incompetent or stupid, or indeed, like you said, you don't want to underestimate the adversary, but you still have to look at what you can get out of this. You have to sort of follow the incentives. And I mean, it's either incompetence or an agent inside. I mean, other than that, it can't work. It's too stupid. It's too stupid.
But yeah, Bill, I think you bring up a good point. I think they absolutely did just assume that we would just pull the merchandise and just roll over. But absolutely, that was never an option. I think they maybe picked the wrong people to try to intimidate and try to silence. But yeah, it is a very curious thing. And again, as far as I can tell, this is the first legal action that the Federal Reserve has ever taken against anyone. They've been in about 13 defense cases, but actually taking legal action, I believe this is the first. So yeah, it's pretty unprecedented. And again, also, you know, I think it's important to make the distinction that, you know, they haven't actually taken legal action yet. This was just a cease and desist letter with the intention to take action if we didn't pull our stuff down, which I think is probably, again, this is a bit of an assumption, but most likely that's probably the tactic that they would use. And maybe they've used that in the past of threatening legal action. And then, you know, most people see the Federal Reserve and roll over. Yeah, we decided to, you know, stand up for our free speech, First Amendment protected rights of parity. And here we are. We'll see what happens.
No, yeah, I mean, that very well could be just a probing attack, like you said, just to see what the response would be. And so I really appreciate the fight that you're putting up. If I can be of any help whatsoever, please don't hesitate.
Oh, like Bill, if you want to write something on this, the door is always open. Like, your stuff is very thorough and very insightful on a consistent basis. So if you have any thoughts or anything you'd like to say on this, the door is open and I'm waiting.
Well, absolutely. And my mind is spinning and I'm figuring out what I can do right now to assist it. With the pen being so much mightier than the sword or the 120 millimeter cannon. So thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Yellow, I think the stage is yours.
Yeah, I just found out. I hope you guys are doing good. I can't believe the Illuminati are suing you guys. Wow. That's like, I didn't expect that. Like, who is writing this timeline, you know, the story? It's crazy. The fucking Illuminati, man, is suing you. Like, we are all Bitcoin Magazine. Yeah, right?
Absolutely, Yellow. You are absolutely correct.
Nuggets of wisdom.
In a serious note, you got a cease and desist?
Yeah, a cease and desist letter. Yep, threatening legal action if we didn't remove our FedNow merchandise, making fun of the FedNow service.
Okay. And I saw the merchandise. It's like, couldn't you like change it? Like, but you haven't changed the logo. Like, at a, very much like whoever's like uploaded, made any kind of t-shirt merchandise through Shopify knows that like you gotta change it, man. put a watermark or something.
Oh, well, I mean, it's absolutely not their logo. I mean, it's a parody of their logo. There's an I in the O, all caps. You know, it's absolutely a parody, but I understand what you're saying for sure.
Yeah, but like if we can be serious a little bit, like from their perspective, it's the first time the Federal Reserve is creating any kind of service that is going to reach out directly to the consumers. They were like a drop back behind the curtain all this time. And now with this service, that fucking logo is going to be everywhere, in every phone, in every app, in every tablet. And like people are going to see it. So maybe this is like all like lawyer shit or some shit. Like, I don't know. Maybe we're seeing stuff that they're not there. I don't know.
It looks like a decision only a stupid committee could make. Only a dumb committee of...
Yeah, a lawyer. Exactly.
Yeah. This is only people with too much education could come up with a plan this dumb.
As I said before, like I don't believe the Illuminati is suing you guys. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, man. The timeline is crazy. Who knows, right?
We got to be thankful. It's great news. Thank you, Simulation God of the Great Storytelling, to put us front and center. It's wonderful news.
anyway, be safe, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Yellow. Appreciate it.
All right, my friends. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up and get to we got a lot of inquiries and people kind of reaching out about what the hell is going on, and I would like to respond to them. So I think this was probably a good time. Anyone else on stage have any last minute things, anything they want to say as we close out?
Just that we should show proper respect to the head of such a prestigious institution. You know, Jerome Pouwell is a very important man. And we should take him seriously.
It's one way to go about it. I say let's not, and let's push back, and you know, make sure that we defend, you know, the next person in line who's trying to get intimidated, or is being intimidated by, you know, a humongous government institution, and financial institution. You know, it's our absolute duty to do that. So we're going to do that. And we really appreciate all the support and kind words and sharing. And we'll see you on the battlefield. See you out there. Thanks so much for hanging out, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Always appreciate the support, and we'll catch you guys later. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you, Miami, for the last 3 years in this amazing city. The whole world shut down, but Miami welcomed us with open arms. We want to show Bitcoin to the whole world. We are taking the conference on the road to set the stage for Bitcoin in a new city. Nashville. Bitcoin 2024 is coming to Nashville in Tennessee. A city that is known as a music and freedom city. Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville from July 25th to 27th.